Speakeasy.
Words.
Lingo.
Speakeasy.
Language.
Speakeasy on ABC Radio Perth.
When Hillary Clinton gave her first TV interview since Election Day on CBS News' Sunday morning show over the weekend, she said she was gobsmacked after losing the presidential election to Donald Trump. This is all part of a promotion for her new book called What Happened, which is coming out, I think, Tuesday. Now, gobsmacked, isn't that British? Well, apparently, yes, it is. And there are quite a few of these Britishisms and Australianisms making their way to the United States. So if you're worried about creeping Americanism, it may comfort you to know that there's a lot of creep going on both sides. Linguist Daniel Midgley in the studio. We're doing this Facebook Live, so if you're new to your technology, jump on the ABC Radio Perth Facebook page and you can check out Daniel for yourself in his very cool T-shirt. I'm sure you wore that on purpose. It says, the very big corporation of America.
I think it's a Time Bandits reference, but I'm not sure.
Oh, I thought it was about the language creep coming this way.
Well, there is a lot of that. And I get a lot of people who are really worried about this stuff. People are talking about, you know, dinner or ketchup or even the letter Z, right? And people feel like this is, you know, damaging the Australian language. It's to be expected, right? I mean, take a guess. What percentage of native English speakers would you say are Americans? Yeah, would you say 50, 60?
Possibly 60?
Higher.
70?
A little higher, somewhere 80? Between 72 and 78%. Okay. So you can expect a few terms to work their way in, all right? There's a lot of influence going on there. But this is not by any means a one-sided thing. Like we've mentioned Hillary Clinton with gobsmacked, which was unusual for me the first time I heard it. I thought, what is this?
Why did she choose that word?
I know. I guess she doesn't mind that it's a Britishism or doesn't know it's a Britishism, or she probably knows.
Well, it's just infiltrated and she's just using it.
That's what language does.
It does.
That's what language
evolving.
Does. Evolving. It's been around since 1959. At least that's the first time that we see it in print in a book called A Woman of Bangkok by Jack Reynolds. People were probably saying it before, but that one is Britishism that's worked its way in. And there is a blog by a guy named Ben Yagoda. I'll put a link in the comment under this video if you're on Facebook Live. He has a blog called Not One-Off Britishisms or Noob, which he mentions a lot of Australianisms that people are picking up. So do you want to hear some?
Take it away.
No worries. Loads of people in the States say no worries. That's arguably a British thing, but it's very, very strongly associated with Australia, and Americans just love it. They keep saying it all the time. They're also starting to say good on you instead of good for you, right?
Good on you is so much better.
Isn't it? And it seems, I think they mean slightly different things as well, like good for you, like for standing up for yourself. Well, I guess that's kind of the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but it sounds better that way, or maybe my ears have just adjusted to that over the years.
Maybe. Fully is another one, like fully sick. Or I fully ate too much or something like that. Americans are starting to say this as well. Lena Dunham, in an interview, said, according to Yagoda, I forgot that I fully had acne. So that one is creeping in a little bit.
1-300-222-720. Have you got some great examples? It would be so good to get a few coming through this afternoon while we're catching up with linguist Daniel Midgley talking about that language creep. And Daniel's convinced it's going the other way. It's not just that US language coming our way. We're shooting it back. Our own style, our own unique style is heading back to the United States. 1-300-222-720. And John has a great example. John, what is it?
Yeah, I lived in the States for a year. This was going back in the 90s. And I was going out with an American girl from Los Angeles. And one morning, I just wasn't feeling right. And I said, God, I feel crook. And she said, what? You feel crook? And the only time that she'd heard this word crook was with Richard Nixon when they said he's a crook. And I said, no, I feel crook. And that was just something, I don't know whether it took or anything, but that was just a brief example.
That is a great example. I love that one. Have I mentioned the one that got me in trouble with my wife almost?
No.
I said to her, now, this is one of those things where in America it means completely the opposite thing. I felt really lucky that I knew her, and I said, man, I really lucked out when I met you. And she was horribly upset because, of course, around here, that means I was out of luck.
I know. So, you did some fast talking.
I had to explain a little bit about, the difference between Australian and American English. I am a linguist, you know.
1-300-222-720. Be great to hear your examples this afternoon. Pat, hello.
Hello. I've got a real, it's a bugbear. It gets me every time. This, instead of saying our, they say ah. And Peter Bell in the morning is a real candidate for this one.
Okay, that's a good, one of the things that makes Australian English and American English different is, of course, the R thing that everyone knows about, the letter R, the sound R. But, of course, we do pronounce our vowels slightly differently. Like the, there's actually a phenomenon called the caught merger, where a cot is a kind of bed and you caught something when someone threw it to you. Well, in my variety of English, they're just the same, cot and caught. Somebody threw me a cot and I caught it. So that's called the cot-caught merger. And, so that's one way in which we're quite different. But the whole I'll or I'll be back, or it's our thing, it's not your thing. Yeah, those are some really good examples of how the vowels in words differ.
At 3:45, ABC Radio Perth and Western Australia this afternoon, linguist Daniel Midgley in the studio. We're doing it Facebook Live, so jump on the ABC Perth Facebook page and you can see it all unfolding this afternoon. And your examples, really appreciate your calls coming through, 1-300-222-720, with your examples of that language creep. Whichever way it's going, if it's US to Australia, is it Australian creep into the American language? A few of those examples would be great to hear this afternoon. 1-300-222-720. Hi, Derek.
G'day, how you going?
Great. What have you heard?
Mate, I've got a 19-year-old son and he spends much of his life on the computer conversing with people from America, and he no longer owns a wardrobe. He's got a closet.
Ah, yes, that's a really good example. Are they the same thing? Because a wardrobe and a closet seem different to me.
They are. I've never lived in a house in Australia with a closet. Mm. I've had a linen cupboard. I've had wardrobes. I've never had a closet. And the other thing he asked for at the dinner table is he asked me to pass ketchup.
No, that's it. Did you kick him out at that point?
Mate, he's very nearly worn it, I've got to tell you.
That is a really interesting language attitude. And I know that we like to talk about tomato sauce, but ketchup is up and coming. It might be something that we're going to have to wear. Do you know, people are really bad at telling the difference between Americanisms and Britishisms and Australianisms. I'm going to give you a quiz.
Oh, I hate it when you do this.
Go on. These are three terms for when you are looking fine. Only one of them is an Americanism. Comes from American English. There's dapper, there's natty, and there's snazzy. Which one's the Americanism?
Dapper.
Mm-hmm. Natty.
Natty.
And snazzy.
Snazzy?
You are correct. That one is the Americanism. Perhaps a blend of snappy and jazzy. I'm getting this from the Online Etymology Dictionary, a wonderful resource that you can check.
1-300-222-724. Your examples, it's great to get these because there's some that we haven't thought of. Daniel hasn't thought of. The closet was a great example. We've had the ketchup. What's yours? 1-300-222-720. John, what have you got for us?
Oh, hello. I remember in the late 80s, I drove cabs for a couple of years and I picked up these American fellows from the airport and I was always a little bit of an entertainer. I'd tell them jokes, and I the crikey and Struth and Dull, you're a bunch of galahs, and they all looked at me long-faced, and I said, okay, I'll have to decipher it into your language as best as possible. So when I changed it over, they said, oh, what's a galah? Well, a galah is another word for a foolish person. Oh, and what's Struth? Well, it's a word for an exclamation. I go, ah. So all the way to the airport, from the Adelaide airport to the city, Struth, crikey, you bloody galah.
Now you've done it.
It was very funny.
So you've been doing your bit, by the sounds of it, to get that language creep growing the other way.
Oh, Yeah, I do because I'm a bit of a shit stirrer. So,
John, thank you for calling through 1300 222 720. A couple of comments on Facebook. One from Graham. Defence drives me mad. It's defence. One D, one E. Thank you, Graham.
Well, if you want to say that one E can only be as in defense, then I'm going to have a problem with that because the letter E all by itself can indeed be an E. We can find lots of examples, but I appreciate the thought.
Head's going to be in a spin by the end of this.
Yep.
Kathy, are you done yet? Instead of finished, eek.
Okay, well, let's talk about that one. So I just did a quick check with the Google Books Ngram Viewer, which is a way of looking at tons and tons of books over hundreds of years because Google has digitized all of these. It's true that Are You Done does seem to be an Americanism. It's used a lot more in the States in books than in British books. But when I take a look at Are You Finished, that one occurs in the U.S. a lot more than it does in British too. So we can't really say that Are You Finished is a Britishism or Are You Done is an Americanism. They both go quite a bit a ways.
1-300-222-720. Stuart, what have you got?
Hi. Yeah, well, mine got me into a lot of trouble, and I'm not sure it translates from English to Australian too well, but I had a conference in America, and I'm representing the organisation I'm there for, and I'm in a crowd of Americans. And one of the women says, I've got to get up early in the morning. So I kindly offer, because I'm going for a run early in the morning, to come back to the hotel and then say, look, and don't worry, I'll knock you up in the morning. To which there were either people were aghast or people were just spitting out water in laughter. Then to me, if you knock someone up in the morning, you're waking them up in the morning. But clearly that's not the rule for America and a large part of Australia.
Oh, Stuart, you would have been in hot water, so you would have done some fast talking.
What if she was into it?
Well, he could have found himself in a completely different situation at that point.
Precisely. So it's never a bad thing to, you know, give it a try.
Eve, hello.
Oh, hi. How are you today?
Great.
Tell you what gets absolutely up my nose, and that is when people start saying, you can have it for free. No, you can't. You can either have it free or for nothing. But to say for free implies that you're giving something for it.
I have to disagree, I'm afraid. For free is one of those things that does appear in all varieties of English. I admit that it uses an extra word, but we do that all the time with other expressions as well. So that's an interesting case, though. That's certainly something that I would like to check out. And I noticed that for free does seem to appear in both American English and British English, although British English slightly less. So, you know, something to keep in mind.
Linguist Daniel Midgley in the studio doing it Facebook Live this afternoon. And a couple more calls, I think. No, I don't know if we've got time to get to them, but we may be able to. Daniel?
Well, one thing that I just like to say is that sometimes we let these things drive us a little bit batty or a little bit nuts, whichever one, I forget, one is Australian or not. But we're all walking around with a repertoire of language, and sometimes we hear a new item from a different speech community, and we like it, so we use it. And if enough people do that, then that becomes a part of our language. We don't need to worry that we're compromising Australian English or American English. Our language is already full of lots of different influences from lots of different places, and it's something that you can just go ahead and enjoy.
And there's nothing that's going to stop it from evolving. It's just nice that it's flowing all different directions. We're not just being bombarded by your US movies and TV sitcoms, and that's how we're picking up all our language. We're doing it the other way.
It's happening all over the place.